continuing. We're continuing, Gordon, with Ephesians, the third chapter. That was the message for Sunday school, was continue. Chapter 3 and verse 1. I could use some water this morning. I could. Kind of dry. Yes. This would be pretty long this morning, so I think whenever I see the time's getting passing, I'll just stop wherever I'm at. The first verse of chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So he starts here, for this cause. He's referring to all that he's written so far in this letter. And the Greek word for the word cause means grace. So for this grace, which of course is God's favor, to the Gentiles through Christ that Paul writes unto them. And I should say, unto us. Thank you. Thank you very much. I really needed this. He says, prisoner. And he truly was a prisoner at this time. He's writing this letter from a prison in Rome. But Paul would not give Satan credit for his bondage. And so he says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, or on behalf of the Gentile world. Let's continue with verse 2 and 3. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote afore in a few words. I'm going to stop right there. And if you remember last week and in chapter 2, he did mention it, but it was kind of like a tease, wasn't it, in a way? And so he had wrote in a few words about it. And here we see that statement of the dispensation of the grace of God. He says that it was given unto him, and that means he has, or was given, I should say, he was given the stewardship of God's grace toward the Gentiles. It was committed unto the Apostle Paul, and God had not revealed it to his people before Paul. He sovereignly, in his grace, revealed it to Paul. And we know that it was a mystery. God says it was a mystery hidden in God. And we're going to read that when we get to verse 9. A mystery that was hidden in God. And we live in that dispensation of grace, which is the church age. We live in the dispensation of grace. Well, let's continue verse 4. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We do learn and come to understand this mystery through Paul's epistles and the quickening of those words to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the reason there is so much ignorance concerning the church among God's people is the failure to read Paul's epistles and to study them to have an understanding. Because God sovereignly gave this revelation of this mystery unto Paul. And praise the Lord that there's ones who are giving it out today. It's not everywhere, because there's so much ignorance concerning. But we think back when God called Paul on the road to Damascus. You know, I can't think of his name right now, when he told him to go and to receive Paul and pray for him. Ananias. The Lord said unto him that Saul, who had been persecuting the believers, he says, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He specially had that ministry to tell of the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles. I'm going to read some scriptures on this concerning Paul's gospel. Romans 2:16, I'm just going to go quickly through these. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, it will be according to my gospel. That's what it says. According to that gospel that that God revealed unto him, the mystery of the gospel of Christ, of his grace to the Gentiles. And then in Romans, the 16th chapter, in verse 25, we read, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. And we also read in 1 Corinthians 9:17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And then in Colossians 1:25 and 26, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, that is to preach it. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And then 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So we see the importance of the epistles of Paul. It's that revelation from God. Praise the Lord for us in this age. The mystery of Christ is fully revealed in his writings. Let's continue with verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You notice three things are given here: fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise. Well, let's consider first fellow heirs. God bestowed grace upon the Gentiles as well as unto Israel. In Hebrews 2, especially verse 9 and 10, we read, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, to bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Fellow heirs, that means sons of God. Yes. And then secondly, it says of the same body. That's the body of Christ. That's the church. And thirdly, partakers of his promise means all who believe, Jew or Gentile, are partakers of the promise that God made to Abraham. What did he say to Abraham? In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Yes, in thee. And we know Christ came of the seed of Abraham. In the Greek, there is a preposition, a word, a prefix to each of these that we have read. And that is, it has the meaning joint. In other words, sharing equally in Christ. And I will mention this, that there are some who have used the phrase Gentile bride, speaking of the bride of Christ. Well, of course, the Word of God doesn't back that up. And neither will the bride be of all Israel either. I've heard that too, teaching from the Gospels. Well, what do we read in Revelations 5:9? That company will be out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Staggers your mind a little bit, doesn't it? It does me. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Well, praise the Lord. That effectual working of his mighty power did work effectually concerning Paul, did it not? His mighty grace conquered Saul, that was going forth and vehemently to persecute the believers. And he made him, Paul, a faithful minister of the very grace that saved him. And the matchless grace of God is Paul's credentials. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Yes, the grace of God, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, that's no small task, that he was given by the grace of God to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable, that means beyond tracing out, their riches in Christ. You know, very few know, and very few seem to care to know about that wealth. Many are just saved, satisfied to be saved, and they know they're going to heaven. And then there are some others who just, you might say, paddle around in the shallow end of this wonderful sea of the grace of God. Well, salvation and being justified before God, that's wonderful. We're wonderfully blessed. But that's only the beginning. Only the beginning. Some go a little further, and they discover healing for the body. That's wonderful. Some go a little further, and they discover, or they experience, I should say. That's how they discover. They experience being filled with the Spirit. Well, that's precious and great and wonderful. Yet there are some who want more. Yearning to know more of Him, to be found in Him. I started reading in Philippians 3 for a verse to read, and I couldn't stop reading. If the Lord should tarry, I look forward to teaching that book of Philippians. I love Philippians. Starting with the 9th verse, and I tried to condense it because I just couldn't stop. Paul says, and be found in Him. Yeah. See that yearning? To be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, which that has the meaning in the Greek, out from the believing dead. I could go on and on about that. Those that have that kind of yearning for more and more to know Him more intimately, we're being prepared for His second coming. Yeah. This time of the year, we celebrate His first coming. But praise the Lord, He's coming again. You know, I'm talking more about than just knowing that He's coming and that we know the signs that point to His coming. But there are unsearchable riches that are set before us in Paul's epistles. Do you want more? Yes. Do you want to know Him more? Yes. Well, we not only want to read them, study them, but to enjoy them. His coming, as you get into Paul's epistles, the coming of the Lord really grips our hearts more and more until we realize, oh, He's coming after me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's coming after me. John had this yearning. We read when he closes there with the book of Revelation. The Lord says, I'm coming quickly. And what John, in the yearning that's in his heart, he says, come, Lord Jesus. And that becomes the yearning in our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus. We read here that the riches of Christ are unsearchable. Well, man cannot understand by human wisdom, the wisdom of this world, or mentally searching the word. There's a difference. I hope that you understand that. I know a young man that he's searched the word, but a lot of it was just mental. Divine truth comes to us by revelation. Do you remember in the Gospels that Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? And what did Jesus reply to him? He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Revelation. Paul exclaimed in Romans, the 11th chapter, verse 33, "How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Yes, by way of contrast, we consider 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. This is another place I turned to, and I just couldn't stop reading. So I've tried to condense it a little bit. But in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, if you want to turn there, it'd be good to have our eyes to fall upon this portion of the word. And I will skip a few statements to try to condense it a little bit. But in 1 Corinthians 2, and in chapter 2, and beginning with verse 4, Paul says here, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Yeah. Skip down a little bit. "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Going down a little bit further. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." By his Spirit. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know." Yes, "that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." And we'll skip down a little bit further. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." In other words, scripture with scripture. Comparing scripture with scripture. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." That's how we study the word. You know, it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning, you know, studying of God's word, reading of his word, and prayer, they should go together. And it should be evenly balanced. You can get off balance and just be studying, but prayer and study. And the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts and reveals those things that we read. Otherwise, we wouldn't know them. We wouldn't. But we can know the riches of Christ. Reading and meditating upon the word by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God." I told you we was going to read that. Yes. "It had been hidden in God until he revealed it unto the Apostle Paul." He says, "From the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Of course, when he revealed it unto the Apostle Paul, it was God's will for the gospel, that gospel that he revealed, that mystery he revealed unto Paul, that it should be preached worldwide. And it has been, and it still is being preached throughout the world. We know not all have embraced that, but praise the Lord. A heart knowledge of the gospel of God, of Christ, creates an unspeakable friendship and fellowship that is among the saints. We've experienced that, haven't we? We love one another. Praise the Lord. And we have this precious fellowship. Verse 10, to the intent that now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The Greek word here for manifold is interesting. It means much, vast, deep, and it also has this meaning: many-colored, variegated, elaborate, intricate, and cunning. We read in Colossians 2:3, in whom, of course, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Divine wisdom is vast and deep. It's also intricate and elaborate. It could be described as fold upon fold. Yes. It had to be proclaimed. It says here, so that the principalities on high might learn. And the good angels, they would marvel, wouldn't they? And the unholy spirits, they would stagger at this divine grace. We should prize and declare God's grace, this hidden mystery that we know about because of the Apostle Paul. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we think that Jehovah had all these things in mind before the world was framed. And in Hebrews 11:2 we read, and in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, in whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. When God gives us an open door, may we boldly step in that open door that he has opened unto us, that we can tell about Jesus, the grace of God, his wonderful gift of Jesus. All that we are, all that we do, it's in Christ. I'll close with Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And you know that faith of Christ is never defeated. The Lord bless you.